So we're up to the Gemara and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. We're still looking at this subject, which has not yet come to a conclusion, but it will now. And that is the whole inyan of the Levaya, the Hespedim, the Kvura. Is that a covered for the dead person, the one who's passed away, or is it a covered for the Chaim? We said there are different nafkaminas, but we're trying to look for a proof. Every proof so far that we've brought, the Gemara has rejected. So we're about the 10th line from the top of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, the last word on the line, Helinu, which was a quote from the Mishnah we learned already, Toshema, Helinu Lichvoidei. Remember we said there's an Issa to leave a dead body overnight. One has to bury them immediately. What was the exception? That was the rule, but there was an exception to the rule, and that is if it is Lichvoidei. So, says the Gemara, Helinu lichvoidoi lahavi loy oroin v'tachrichin. If the reason why we delayed the Levaya overnight is because of COVID, in order to bring the oroin, the tachrichin, which is the shrouds, then einoi over olov. Then it's not considered to be a transgression of this lav. Now, what does that mean? Helinu lichvoidoi. The Levaya was delayed overnight, lichvoidoi. In whose covered? Says the Gemara, my love. Surely it means my love, lichvoidoi, shalmei.
Thank you very much.
Surely it means lichvoidoi shalmeis. When we talk in the Mishnah about delaying the Levaya because of lichvoidoi, so the assumption is lichvoidoi means lichvoidoi shalmeis. Out of reference, out of honor to the mace. So because it's an honor of the mace to bring him a respectable oroin and tachrichim, therefore it's no bizoyin if the levaya takes place over the following day. So therefore we seem to have a mufurisha mishnah, a very conclusive proof that lechvoidoi means lechvoidoi shal mace. Says the Gemara, no, loy, lechvoidoi shal chai. It actually means covered of the live person. In other words, whether the dead body is buried in a dignified oroin, for example, could well be considered dignity to the live people. Not to necessarily to the mace. It certainly can be to the mace, but it's not conclusive proof that we're referring to the mace, because it may well be that really our concern is with the live people, and it's a bizoyin for the live people to have to deal with a mace where there's no oroin. Now, as we happen to know, there are different minhogim varying regarding this halacha. The general custom in Chutz La'aretz is to bury in an orin. Here in this country, in Eretz Yisrael, they bury without an orin for varying halachic reasons. But either way, in as much as they would like to get an orin, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's covered for the mace. It could well be that it's covered for the chaim. And if it's covered for the Chaim, so again, so we don't have any proof necessarily it's covered for the mace. Yes.
Wouldn't Bechvodo mean Hashem?
No.
Why?
Because then there's no Issa of Lo Solim. There's always an Issa to leave the bare body overnight.
Yeah, but Lechvodo, it's not Hashem to Hashem. The guy died. It belongs. His body belongs to Hashem. Right?
Lechvodoi of Hashem. Lichvoidoi, we're talking about the mace. That's why the assumption was it's talking about the mace. The assumption was talking about the mace. The Gemara's machadesh that actually it can be understood to be lichvoidoi of the chayim, which I agree is a novel interpretation. But it needs explanation. Why does it need explanation? Because it means for covered of the chayim, you're now having bizoyan to the mace. Is that fair? Says the Gemara, Umishum kvoidoi shel chai. Because of the dignity of the live people, you want to bring a nice oroin, mavis lei lemeis. You now leave the mace overnight. The overnight, the mace is languishing there overnight, which lechoira is a bizoyin hamace. And what do we say? Well, the reason why we're doing this is because of the live people, because it would be considered dignified for the live people to have a very mukhubad oren. Is that fair to the mace? Says the Gemara, and yes, it's perfectly fair. Why is it perfectly fair? Because Ki Omar Achmona, remember when the Torah said, Loi Solin Nivlosoi Al Ho'etz. Who are we talking about there? We're talking about somebody who was stoned, who was killed, who's clearly a Rasha. And it says, do not leave his body overnight. Dumya de Tolui. The whole concept of leaving him overnight is comparable to his hanging. De isbe bizoyin. The whole concept is because of a bizoyin. Aval hocha kibben de lesbe bizoyin loy. But over here, because there is no bizoyin, why? Because there's at least dignity to the live people. Therefore, this issa is not subject to this case. The Torah is clearly saying that there's only an issa when it's absolutely an issue of bizoyin. But if there is in it kavod, well, then there's no issa. Have a look at Rashi. My lav lichvoidoi shalmeis alma. Therefore, we would seem to have a proof that yikra, all the honor of delay that we do, being the dead person. Says the Gemara, no. Says Rashi, umevis leila meis. What does mevis mean? Targumoi shel malin, to lodge overnight. The targum is mevis. Ki omar achmona loy tolu. When the Torah says, do not leave the body hanging. Verabino nami, and we learn from over here that it applies not only to somebody who was killed by Bezdin, but also shar kol hameisim. Hainu, that's only ki mashulei. That's only when you delay it, l'dechuyei ba'alma, just merely for the sake of pushing it off, for laziness, deloy ichpas leibei, because we don't care about him, dehainu bizoyin. So if the reason why you're leaving the mace overnight is because we're just too busy and we can't be bothered, that's an issue of bizoyin, and that's osa, v'dumya de tolu, just like the hanging is a bizoyin, to leave him overnight is a bizoyin. Aval hai, but in the case where they're doing it, the lisyak rubei kroivov, so that the kroivim should get honor, meaning the very fact there's a dignified orain, is an honor to the kroivim. Lav bizoyen huladidei is not considered a bizoyen, and under circumstances like that, the Torah never expressed the issa in the first place. So we still don't have a raya. So we go onwards, we're trying to bring another raya. First word on the line. Toshima, we have another braisa. And it says, Helinu lichvoidoi. Again, if you lodge overnight the mace, lichvoidoi. Now again, that word lichvoidoi, which we now know, is inconclusive because the word lichvoidoi could either mean lichvoidoi shal hameis or lichvoidoi shal hachai. But we'll see in a moment, in this particular braisa, it really is Dvarim Mufurashim. Why? It says, Helinu lichvoidoi. If they left the mace overnight, Lashamea olov ayorois, in order to collect, to gather the crowds, Lahoviloi, or alternatively, Lahoviloi makoinanois. Remember, we spoke yesterday, there used to be professionals who gave hespedim and kinnas at the levayas. They didn't just ask the local rabbi or the family relative. They had to bring in professionals. So, lahoviloi makoinanois. To bring makoinanois, again, if you leave the body overnight, why? Not because we can't be bothered to bury him. Because the makoinanim, the ones giving hespedim, take their time to come. Or, lahoviloi oroin v'tachrichim, or to bring a coffin or shrouds. Einoi oivar olov, there's no issa. But now listen to how the braisa continues. Shekol ha'oise, because everything you're doing in this particular case, einoi elo lichvoidoi shel meis, quote unquote. So here, l'chayra, it's unequivocal. If you would just say the word lichvoidoi, so then we can debate, what does it mean lichvoidoi in his honor? Whose honor? But if it says over here that if you're bringing the people to saying hespedim, and you're bringing the oren, and you're bringing the tachrichim, and the reason why it's okay is because It's all lichvoidoi shel mace. Well, there it is. Absolutely mafurish. Black and white, that the discussion seems to be all revolving around the covered of the mace. Says the Gemara, no, it's also not conclusive. Hochi comma, because it could mean the following. Kol ha'oise lichvoidoi shel chai. Ein boy bizoyin lemeis. As we've said before, it's true you may not be mechuyev to be mechabed the mace. The whole concept of the levaya and the kavura, etc., etc., may not be all about covered of the mace, but you can't be mevaze the mace. You definitely cannot be mevaze the mace, whatever happens, even if we decide that the inyan of the levaya and the hespedim is covered for the chayim and not for the mace, but that doesn't mean you can be mevazeh the mace. So therefore, all this braisa meant was not that when you're bringing the tachrichim, etc., etc., it's covered for the mace and that's the whole subject. No, really, it's covered for the chayim. What we mean to say is it's covered for the chayim, and don't worry about bizoyin to the mace because not a bizoyin. It's absolutely not a bizoyin to the mace if we tell the mace, as it were, that we're waiting a little bit in order to bring an oren and tachrichim. So we're learning from our Gemara that this whole discussion of ours now turns out to be very delicate. Until now, we might have thought that it's either or. It's either a subject which is only relevant to the mace or only relevant to the chai. And if it's only relevant to the chai, then maybe we couldn't care less about the mace. We're learning from our Gemara that no, even if the concept of the kavura and the hespedim, etc., etc., is all about covered for the chai, but you still have to be careful not to be mevaze the mace. You cannot do something which is a bizoyan to the mace. So therefore, to leave the dead body overnight is essentially a bizoyan to the mace. That cannot be allowed. So all the Brice is telling you is, if I'm leaving the dead body overnight, but the reason why I'm doing so is in order to bring the maspidim and the oren and the tachrichim, that is kovoid for the chai and is not bizoyin for the mace, and that's why it's acceptable. Which means, therefore, we still don't have a proof. We've got no proof from over here that the inyan of the hespedim, etc., is all about kovoid for the mace. No. It could be it's all about covered for the chai, as long as there's no bizoyin to the mace. Yes, Reb Larry.
Couldn't it be considered even 5 minutes being hung in public by your feet a bizayon?
It is a bizoyin. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says on the
But
one
they
hand,
allow it as long as
there's
it's not
bizoyin
overnight.
for hanging up the mace, but on the other hand, there's a limit. In that particular case, the reason why he has to get a bizoyin is because he's a rasha. But beyond that, not. Therefore, don't leave him overnight. But that amount of bizoyin he's got to have. Okay, so we brought seven or eight different proofs, every
Rebbe,
single one. Yes.
one last thing, I'm sorry. I learned that when you're alive, if you have a bizayon, it's mechaper. Like if you're right, so is it true also that this bizayon is mechaper him as well?
Yes, absolutely. Rabbi Yoel David, your neighbor and my former neighbor. One of my Rebbeim, Rav Davidovich, once showed me the following. When I left Ramat Aleph, I left the apartment that Rabbi Eliyahu David is now sitting in as we speak and now owns, Baruch Hashem. So I moved over to Gimel. And the first year that I was a Rav of this shul was a rather challenging year, to put it mildly. We had a few troublemakers in the shul. Rav Kornfeld maybe didn't realize that when he sent me there. And it was a bit of a balagan. Baruch Hashem, they've left the shul now, and it's a wonderful place. And it was very rough. It was very rough, and there were decisions to be made. And I was always taking counsel from either of Kornfeld or of Davidovich. And yet I got it over the head and got it in the neck, and it was not fun and games. So I once spoke to Rav Davidovich about this. Maybe a little, just poured out my heart a little bit, that it's difficult and you get bizyonis. And he showed me Rav Davidovich, which was what Larry just mentioned. He showed me in the Sefer the Toimer Devoira. Who's the Toimer Devoira? Rav Moshe Kor Deviro, the Ramak, one of the Gedolei HaMekubalim. The Ramak writes that a person has difficulties during life. Every person undergoes different type of difficulties during life, all different types of yisurim. So the Ramak writes that the best type are bizyonos. Those are the best. Because it doesn't affect your physical health or your financial status. So bizoyon is definitely something which is mechaper, as he writes, and those are the best types of yisurim. So Rav Davidovich was trying to be mechazer to me. It's true, even though maybe you're getting bizyonos, but you should know it's mechaper and it's the best type of yisurim. Okay, so we brought several proofs, and every single one has been disproved. But now, Rabbeisai, we get to the final proof, and this is the conclusive proof. We are now once and for all going to bring a raya about whether the concept of a kvura and a levaya, etc., etc., is it all about covered for the mace, or is it about covered for the chai? And as the Gemara mentioned previously, the difference would be, for example, if he says, "I don't want it," if before he passed away, he says, "Don't do any type of hespedim," etc., etc. So the Gemara brings one more proof, and this is the final and conclusive proof. Toshema, says the Gemara, Reb Noson Omer. Reb Noson says, Simon Yofe Lemeis. There is a good omen for a mace. When is that? Shenifroin Mimenu Laachar Misa. If he seems to be paid, gets punished in some way, even after he's dead. Sometimes we see, and the Gemara is going to give examples, that a person seems to be punished after his death. Which, why is that a siman yofer? Because clearly, again, that'll be mechaper, and he'll cleanse himself a little bit of Gehenna. What would be a siman yofer? So the Gemara, the Braiser brings different examples. Number one, mace shaloi nispeid. If somebody was not zeicher to hespedim, veloi nikbar, or if he was not zeicher to a kvura, oi shechaya goyreratu, or if an animal dragged his dead body around, all of these are punishments to the dead body, but ultimately it's a siman yofer. Oi shehayu geshamim. If it was raining, mezalfin al midasai, pouring on his mitah. So if it was pouring and the mitah gets sopping wet, that is rather degrading, and therefore all of that is considered to be a siman yofer. Zehu siman yofer lemeis. All of that is a siman yofer lemeis. Why is it a siman yofer? As we said before, because it's a type of bizoyin, and will bring about a kapara. Now, what does that show us? Says the Gemara, Shma mi no, I hear from here that Yikra, it's all about the covered, the shachpi of those who have died. Shma mi no, yes, that is a conclusive proof. If the whole concept of the kvura, the levaya, the hespedim, etc., etc., is all about covered for the chai, it's nothing to do with the dead, then why would this be a kapara? It was nothing to do with him anyway. The whole mahalach of the kavura was nothing to do with him. I see from this braisa, it's all about him, and therefore, even though he wouldn't choose to do it in a degrading way, but if it did happen min hashomayim, then that's a siman yofer. Have a look at Rashi. Siman yofer lemeis, kashenifroin mimenu ba'olam hazeh. When he seems to be paid, meaning punished, in this world, la'achar misa, following his death, I see diyeshloi kapora bekach. He has an atonement with this. Shma mino. Therefore, says Rashi in conclusion, I hear from over here that it must be that yikra deshachbi. It's an honor of those who have passed away. Di lav yikra deshachbi, says Rashi. Because were it not to be an honor of the dead body, if it's all about covered for the chayim, amay mechaper, why should he get an atonement with his bizyonos? It was nothing to do with him. It's a bizoyan not for him, it's a bizoyan for the chayim. So I see quite clearly that no, it's not considered to be a bezayin for the chayim. It's a bezayin for the mace, and therefore the honor and dishonor of the mace, that is the central subject. And therefore, in the final analysis, it seems to be that even though the Gemara had this shaila and discussed it at great length, but ultimately the Gemara is clearly paskening that it's all about the kavod of the mace. And in fact, if you look, Shin Mem Dalet. I'm just looking as we speak. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, this is actually paskened lahalacha. This is not just a nice, interesting discussion. This is a halachic discussion. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Mem Dalet, which is all halachas of Hespedim, etc., etc., and it says, if the inheritors do not want to pay for the hespedim, you force them and they have to pay. This is obviously based on our Gemara, because the Gemara says if it is the kavod of the live people, then they can say, Shkoyach, we don't want it. But if it's a kavod for the dead person, then the Yerushim have to pay. And this is the way it appears in the Shulchan Aruch, one halacha. Another halacha, it says, if the dead person left over instructions not to give him a hesped, toimin loy, you would listen to him. You would listen to him. So both of those halachas in Shulchan Aruch, number one, that we force the Yerushim, whether they like it or not, we force them to pay for the hespedim. Number two, if the dead person left an instruction, don't do hespedim, we listen to him. Both of those halachas are based on what? Are based on the conclusion of our Gemara that it's all about the kavod for the mace. And therefore, that has two halachic ramifications. Number one, that the Yerushim have to pay for the Hespedim. They have no right to waive the Hespedim. Why do they have no right to waive the Hespedim? Because it's not about their honor. Had it been all about their honor, well, they can forego their honor. But it's not. It's about the honor of the dead person, number one. Number two, the other side of the coin is that if, however, the dead person said that I don't want you to do hespedim for me, then that's his prerogative. Again, if it would be all about the honor of the live people, well, then the dead person cannot forego the honor of the live people. So both of these halachas, number one, the halacha that the Yerushim have to pay for the hespedim, number two, that the dead person can, if you want, choose not to have hespedim, are both halachas in Shulchan Aruch, halacha ula maisa, and they're both based on the maskon of our Gemara. That the inyan of the kavura and the espadim is all about covered for the mace and not for the chai.
Rabbi,
Yes.
if you're a righteous family and someone in your family is chayav misa, and then they hang him by his feet, isn't that a bizayon to the family for the living?
It is, but the Torah has dictated that you have to do that, so we don't have a choice.
I understand, but to say this is obviously a bizayon. This is if you do this, it's a bizayon to the mace, and not to no, it's also a bizayon to the family. You could, the bizayon could be
No,
on the family.
nobody's denying it. Nobody's denying that it is covered for both. The question is, which is the covered that we're interested in? Nobody denies if there's 100,000 people on the Levaya, that's a covered for the mace and a covered for the Chaim. But which one is the purpose of the Levaya? The difference being, can either party waive the honor, either the
But
dead
by the
person
way,
or the person?
in that case, if someone does something like, it's probably a mechaper on the family for some of their averus as well,
It could be.
because it's a bizayon. It's a definite bizayon.
Yeah, don't deny it. Yeah, sure. Again, nobody's denying that it is a bezoyin, and the other way around, it is a kavod. The question is, what is the purpose? With the difference being, who can wave on that kavod? Can the dead person be waving on the kavod? Can the live people wave the kavod? And the answer is, the live people cannot. The dead person can, because it's all about him.
The truth is, just one last thing. The truth is what I said, it doesn't even matter. As long as it's a bezayin for the mace, they can't control it because a mace cannot be mechaper on his own. He's already dead. So it doesn't matter that it's a bezayin on the
Always
family.
right. The Gemara is saying, if you would leave in a will, please do not say hespedim about me, then that's his prerogative to do. If you remember, we discussed last week, the exception might
Great,
be
famous.
sorry.
Very famous people have gone against that. Very famous.
Right.
I
So it's
mean,
an
very big
exception because
difference.
that we said, right, because it was a Godel Hadoyer or a Melech, that's a different story. But essentially, if somebody leaves a Will, please do not say a spadim about me. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't say a spadim. It's all about his kavod, and he has every right to forego on it.
I remember when my mother, Aleichem Shalom, died in 1989. I asked, and there was a, she died on a Friday, and my sister had already made Halia, and she was living in Eretz Israel, so there was no way she could attend the Levaya if it was held on Friday on the same day. And I asked him, the Shaila, whether we should wait, and he told me, could you please ask someone else that Shaila? So this is what I had to do.
So there are occasions, especially in Chutz Laaretz, where they would wait. They would wait. As we mentioned, Reb Chaim Kanievsky passed away on Friday afternoon, and his Levaya was Sunday lunchtime, or early Sunday morning at least. So you see, there is a precedent. And again, there was a classic example because he passed away about 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. So obviously the crowds would not be able to come. Motzei Shabbos is also impractical and it would cause Chilul Shabbos. So it was decided to do it Sunday morning about 10 or 11 o'clock. And that way there was a proper Kavod HaTorah. There's half a million people there, if not more.
Rebbe, even if it's not an important person, why would they bury on Motzei Shabbos? It's a Chilul Shabbos regardless, because whoever it is, you got to rush to, all of a sudden you're thinking the whole day about burying them, how we don't forget, you know, you're preparing on Shabbos. And it's a very difficult challenge.
They're not talking about that so much. They were talking about more the fact that at a big Levaya like that, there would have to be a police presence and a lot of logistics that would probably be arranged by Mechalel Shabbos. That was the problem. And buses, and would have to get ready, and they'd be worried to do that on Shabbos. That was the problem.
But if somebody dies, God forbid, on Shabbos, and you can't get it off of your mind, you know, I can't wait for Shabbos. The second Shabbos is over, I got it. That's okay?
Okay, then he's an oymus. Finish, you can't do that. But they were worried that it wouldn't be oymus, and that the police would deliberately get all the buses ready on Shabbos afternoon,
yeah,
and all
I hear that.
The microphones and the police and the soldiers. And there was an enormous police presence there, as you can imagine. You have to for a crowd that of that size. Okay, we're moving on. Loi hoyu koivrim. So the Mishnah said, this is the Mishnah back in Daf Mem Zayin, Mem Vav Amud Aleph. It says that you do not bury. We're going back now to the person who was hanged, who is clearly a Rosha, and he was not buried in the regular Beis HaKvaros, where maybe the rest of his family are buried, because he's considered to be a Rosha. So, says the Gemara, Lo yoyu koivrin, says the Gemara, v'kol kach lomo. All of this, why is it necessary to go to such lengths to insist that he doesn't get buried with the rest of his family? The answer is, says the Gemara, lefi, because we have a halacha, she'ein koivrin rasha eitzel tzaddik. Now, this is a fascinating halacha, which I don't claim to understand. One may have thought, apparently mistakenly, that what's the difference where you get buried? Finished, the guy's dead. So whether he's buried next to this person or that person, why is it important maybe for a husband and a wife to be buried next to each other? Family, what's the difference? Who cares? Why do we have some plots in the graveyard that are dedicated to Talmidei Chachamim, etc.? Who in the world cares where you're buried? But I see in this Gemara that we do care. And it is a very important halacha. We would not bury a Rasha next to a Tzaddik. So therefore, this Rasha who's being killed by Beis Din for his Averis, clearly a very severe Rasha, we do not want him buried in the regular Beis HaKvaros because it's inappropriate to bury him next to the rest of his family who are not Rishoyim, and he is. How do I know? Da Omar Rav Acher Bar Chanina. Because Rav Acher Bar Chanina, he said, I learned this from a Pasuk. Minayin. How do I know? She'ein Koivrin Rasha Eitzel Tzaddik. How do I know that we do not bury a Rasha next to a Tzaddik? She'nemar. It's a Pasuk. And the Pasuk says in Melachim Beis, Vayehi heim koivrim ish. Rashi fills us in on the story, we'll see in a second. Vihine ro'u es hagedud, vayashlichu es ho'ish, bekever Elisha. There was a certain ish, who we'll see in a second was a Rasha. He died, he got buried next to the great Elisha. Elisha, of course, is the Talmud, a Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi, says the Gemara. Vayashlichu esoish bekever Elisha, vayiga hoish baatzomois Elisha. And the person just came into contact with the bones of Elisha, and a miracle occurred. Vayechi vayokim al raglov. And all of a sudden he became alive once again and stood up and was able to walk. Or at least he was able to stand. So what's going on? So have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Vayechi vayokim al raglov. Oisoi hanikbar. This person who was buried was a terrible rasha. Novi hasheker hoyo. He was a false prophet. Hu hanovi asher heshiv es idoi. Idoi himself was a novi. He was a novi tzaddik, a novi emes. So he was the novi that idoi restored lechol velishtois the base ale, but v'nenash idoi al yodoi. And idoi got punished as a result. V'hemisei hoari got killed by a lion. Ukashameis la'achar yomim kavruhu etzel Elisha. So after he died, meaning this Novi Sheker, he got buried next to Elisha. V'loi huchshar etzel hamokoim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy. This was not huchshar, this was not kosher. This was not pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyikoveir etzloi, that he should be buried next to him. So a miracle occurred, vehechiyuhu, and he remained alive. Or rather, he became alive. So he was zeicher to tchias ha-meisim. So says the Gemara, what do I see from this yesod? I see from this Gemara, from this pasuk, that it's considered so severe for a rasha to be buried next to a tzaddik, ad kdei kach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even performed tchias ha-meisim just to avoid it. Again, Elisha had passed away. This Novi Sheker was now, for some reason, buried in close proximity to Elisha, just touched the bones of Elisha, and suddenly the Novi Sheker became alive again, and he jumped out the grave. So says the Gemara, I see from over here that a Rosha is not supposed to be buried next to a Tzaddik. That's the Makor. Therefore, that's a Pshat in our Mishnah as well, that when somebody is hung or stoned by Beis Din for his Averas, he is not to be buried in the regular family Beis HaKvaras, because he is considered to be a Rasha, and therefore it's unacceptable, it's not kosher, as it were, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for him to be buried next to a Tzaddik, and therefore he's got to be buried in a specially allocated Beis HaKvaras. Now, we have to stop over here, but we will see tomorrow that there is a discussion, we saw this mentioned in the Mishnah, he's not buried next to his family, that's true, but where is he buried? Do we have one collective Beis HaKvaras for all these Rishoyim? We'll see there's actually two, depending on what Misa he suffers. Mis Hashem, we'll see all of this tomorrow.
And why is that not considered a Bizayon for him?
It is, but it's a halacha. Finish, there's nothing we can do. The halacha is, it's Asa. It's absolutely Asa for him to be buried next to a Tzaddik. Maybe because of covered for the Tzaddik. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. Hopefully.